Want to welcome everybody that's watching online today to Waldo Baptist Church to our Bible study this morning. Some of you may remember or have had acquaintance. He's been to our church a few times. Is Adrian Jones is his name. His wife Mary passed away Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. And I don't know two finer Christian couple in all the world than Adrian and Mary Jones. They were a big supporter of Heart Cry Ministry, and the family that moved over here from Peru, that Maria lived with us, and John and then his other sister lived with Adrian and Mary. We had the fortune to be really close to Adrian and Mary through the years, and Adrian was a great friend of John Davis's and the family. And so pray for Adrian. He's really weak and he's lost his rock. And so Mary was a rock to his heart and his family. And so pray for Adrian and his family. Their son Rex will be doing the funeral there at Friendship Baptist Church next Sunday. And so I'll probably try to go to that funeral. So remember that family in your prayers. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before you this morning, we lift up Adrian and his family to you, Lord, that you might bless and watch over him, how he has served, how he has worked in missions, how he has loved pastors and preachers well, how he has been a close friend for so many years. His wife Mary is now in heaven, and I know Adrian longs to see her there. Bless this man and his family and watch over and comfort them. Hold them close to you. Be with them in a mighty way as well. Be with our own church family that's lost loved ones lately, Lord, and comfort them and bless and watch over them. Be with our sick and hurting and those that are injured and not able to be with us today. Those that are watching online, Lord, that aren't able to come to your house. And we pray for all those that's watching online that you might speak to their hearts today. Father, we thank you for Jesus, the life we have in him. We pray this morning for Brother Nate that's under the weather, not feeling well, that he's going to try to preach in the next service. Lord, you might bless him with strength and healing and give him the spirit, unction of the spirit to be able to carry through. So Lord, be with Nate and help him this morning. And Lord, just bless our musicians and all that lead us in worship as they gather together in your house at 10 o'clock. Thank you for Jesus, the life we have in him, for the good things you give us each and every day. And may you be glorified in everything that's done. For we ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through his shed blood we pray. Amen. I told you I was going to begin a new study this morning. And I am. And I'm going to retire from preaching completely. I'm just going to let the Lord lead. Nate and I had a good meeting and talk about it. And at first I'd told him it would be the end of this year that I would retire. But after he and I talked, I've decided just take a step at a time, let the Lord lead. And it may be next March when Paul comes in and they do the Jack Russell sermon series. It's just in God's hands, and I don't know how my sister will be, and I don't know how things will work out there. And so I'm going to teach on different things that I struggle with myself, because I figure we're a lot alike, right? Things that give me problems give you problems. And the things that give you problems give me problems. So I thought that each Sunday, I'm going to teach on different things that God just leads me to, that I found that I needed help with in my life. And I figure if I needed help, you probably did too. You've probably been through the things I've been through. And so that's what I'm going to do. And this topic here may last 3 or 4 Sundays. I have no idea. But this is where I'm going today. And I call this dry bones dancing. Dry bones dancing. And it's in the book of Ezekiel, in the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And I was in my study at home, and I was thinking about when I would retire and when I would quit preaching and teaching every Sunday. And I was thinking about these things, and I know people think that God can't speak to you, but maybe He does, maybe He doesn't. Maybe it's just my imagination. But I know that the Lord led me to think, why don't you share with these folks in the closing months of your ministry here, why don't you share with them what would help you? Because if you share with them what would help you, you're going to be sharing with them what would help them. And so I thought, and I went through my library, I'm looking at my books, and I look up, and in my library, and one of my favorite preachers in the whole world is Tony Evans. And I saw this book in my library, and it was Dry Bones Dancing. And I thought, that's exactly where I need to start. That's exactly where I need to start. And let me explain to you why this is where I needed to start. Now, I'm older than Elsie and Everett might have it on me. I don't know if there's anybody else in here in the auditorium does or not, but I'm going to be 81 years old in January. Okay. Charlie, you got me?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you're just a little ahead of me. And but let me say this. As you get older, and you young people, Noah, Matthew, forget it. You don't understand. But you will one day. And when you get older, like I am today, and I pray you live even longer, I want you to remember what I taught. Because as I've gotten older, it is more difficult for me. And the one thing that more than anything else, I don't know if more than anything else, but one thing that is so important to me in my life is that as I grow older, I do not lose my passion. That I do not lose my passion and my fire and my spirit for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have found out that the older I get, the more difficult it is, because the more things you have to carry with you in your life, and the more things you have to think about in your life that is coming. And so I pray that as we begin this morning, you, as we get into this, you can see where I'm coming from. And if you're older like me and Brother Charlie and Elsie and Everett and others in here, you'll see where I'm coming from, okay? And I pray that this will speak to your hearts. And more than I pray it'll speak to your hearts, I pray it'll help you. I pray it will help you not lose that passion and that fire. Do you remember when you were saved and how excited you were and how glorious God was and how wonderful He was and how it seemed like you were walking on air and how wonderful life was at that point? You remember that? You remember that? I call that first love. First love. All right, now in the book of Zechariah, the 37th chapter, Ezekiel. I said Zechariah, didn't I? Thank you. The book of Ezekiel. You can go to Zechariah if you want to, but that's not where I'm at. I'm in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel has a vision. God has given him a vision. And in this vision, there is a prophecy and a promise. Now you got to realize that Ezekiel, this is about 586 B.C. We're talking about a period of time. Ezekiel was a prophet right before the siege of that Babylon sieged Jerusalem, and the whole Judea and Israel were captured by the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and carried into captivity. His ministry was right before that happened, and then while that happened, okay? While they were in exile and before they were in exile. This is the ministry of Ezekiel at that time. And we're going to begin, it's kind of funny because we're going to begin in chapter 37, but then we're going to go backwards to chapter 2. Okay, so here's what the scripture says. And the hand, this is Ezekiel. And the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. And he set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. And by the way, this valley is probably the same Kedar Valley that he had a vision of earlier when he saw the glory of God. And he's in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. And he led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Now that's important. They have grown dead. They have lost their flesh, their sinew. They are very dry. Now, do you ever go through a dry season in your life? Do you ever go through a dry season in your life where it seems like God is not as close as He used to be? Where it seems like it is hard. I remember Steve Heine, when he found out he had cancer, he calls me up one day and he says, "Pray for me, I can't pray." And I said, "I will. I will." We can get to the point in our life that we're like these dry bones, okay? That's what I'm talking about. I know, because I grapple with that. I grapple with that. And you'll understand that later, hopefully, when I get to it. Okay? Okay, dry bones, dead bones. Valley of dry bones, they were very dry. Now notice, Ezekiel asked the Lord, God asked Ezekiel, he asked me, Ezekiel said, "Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live?" And notice what Ezekiel said. "O sovereign Lord," he recognizes the sovereignty of God and that nothing is impossible with him, but he also recognizes that only God knows. Only God knows if these bones can live again. Then he said to me, listen, then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them," and this is really important. This is really important. "Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, why is that so important? That is so important. Because in my life, when I go through those dry seasons, when I got what I call the mully grubbies, and I think that I'm looking at myself in the mirror and saying, "Oh me, oh my, why me?" I look at myself in the mirror and I'm thinking, "Can these bones live?" I say, "Oh sovereign Lord, only you know. Only you know. Only you know." And isn't that true? Only you know. I don't know about the rest of today, but I know the one that knows. I know the one that knows. And what is it he say? "Hear the word of the Lord."
So I realized that my passion, my spirit, my life is in the Word of God. Is in the Word of God that He gives to me. Hear, prophesy, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. And I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied. Now you realize that he's talking about Israel. He's talking about bringing Israel back out of exile. He's talking about them. What's he comparing them to? What's he showing Ezekiel? He's showing them Israel is like dead, dry bones. Now so, verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendon and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. There was no breath. There was no life in them. There was no breath. There was no ruah in them. Then he said to me, prophesy. What does he say? Prophesy. Speak, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we are cut off. Have you ever been there? Where it seemed like there was no hope. Some of you have. You know where I'm at. Maybe it's you lost a loved one. It was really your life. It was really your life. I think about my sister. She's lost her husband and both her children. I know how she felt. That's how Scripture says right here. It seems like there is no hope. It seems like you have been cut off. And Satan will come to you and he will say, if God really loved you, why would this happen to you? Every time. If God really loved you, why would He let your spouse be so sick? If God really loved you, why would He let you feel like this? If God really loved you, why would you hurt like this? And at that very moment, it feels like there's no hope. It feels like you've been cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord's sovereign Lord says, O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. What's he talking about? He's
He's talking about resurrection. Let me tell you something. When you feel like you're cut off, when you feel like there's no hope, you don't need advice. You need resurrection. You need life. You need hope. You need to know that your God is a sovereign, almighty God that loved you more than any, even his own son he let die on a cross. You need to know that he knows every hair on your head, and he knows everything that happened and will happen and is going to happen, and he loves you more than anything in the world, and that through him you do have life and you are not cut off, and there is an eternal hope that you have in Christ Jesus, and you need to know that. And when you begin to know that, there is a resurrection that takes place in you. And where you felt so dry, and where you felt so dead, and where you felt so hopeless, suddenly there was life. Then my people will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from the, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. I have done it, declares the Lord. Now, I got a lot of stuff. I call it the vision, the problem, and the judgment. This is the vision. This is the vision. This is the vision of Israel, and this is the vision that you and I need to keep. That we have a sovereign Lord that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we might ask or think. Can you imagine this vision that Ezekiel had? Can you imagine him walking out of the middle of that valley of dry, dead bones that have no flesh on them? They have absolutely laid there, baked in the sun till they are dry and there is no life in them at all. And then see the sinew come up on them, the flesh come back on them, the breath come back into them, and then stand up as a mighty army. Well, I'm telling you, that's what God can do for you. I'm telling you, that's what God has done in your life. And when you need it the most, that's when he's there the most. And it is the Spirit of the living God that is in you that will raise you up, that will resurrect you, that will give you the strength. And I have to pray all the time, God, don't let me lose my passion. God, don't let me lose my power. God, don't let me lose my strength that I have in you. Well, how did he get in this place? Well, you see, I'm dying to read this to you. So I'm going to skip something and go ahead and read it, and then I'm going to go back to Scripture. I can do that because I'm a teacher. Now, you young people, you might get part of this, but you won't get it. Not like me. Not like Charlie, Linda, Elsie, Everett. Not like some of us older folks, okay? All right, I don't know if Bill's old enough or not. He might get part of it. Listen to this. Listen to this. Think about this. Think about your life. Think about my life. I couldn't live without her. That's how I knew I loved her. I couldn't live without her. I remember there was a phone booth over there where, you know where a smoke shop is. Remember there's a phone booth on that corner over there? Well, Mom and Dad didn't want me to keep making long-distance calls. Kay lived in Kentucky. I lived in Illinois. We didn't have cell phones then, by the way. And I'd drive across the bridge to that phone over at the smoke shop, and I'd call her and talk to her. It's just like I was there with her. I couldn't wait to talk to her next time. See what she was doing. Couldn't wait to get back together with her. Then I was dying to get married and have children. Now, you older folks, you'll identify with this. Then I was dying for my children to grow up and get out. Huh? Then I was dying for my children to grow up and get out. Well, my children grew up and got out. Now here I am. Then I was dying to retire. Then I was dying to retire. Now listen to this. Listen to this. This is where a lot of folks are. Maybe not you. It's where a lot of folks are. Now, I'm just waiting to die. Now, I'm just waiting to die. And suddenly, I realize I forgot to live. And suddenly, I realize I forgot to live. That's where a lot of folks are today, my brothers and sisters. My life has been severely blessed. I remember sitting in a barber's chair, and Bobby Clankey was a barber, and he's cutting my hair. And he looks at me, and Bobby Clankey was a great Christian man. He looked at me and he said, "Jack Russell?" And I said, "Yeah, that's me." He said, I can't believe the way God's blessed your life. I said, I can't either. You know, it's like waiting for the other shoe to fall. My life's been blessed so much, it's got to turn somewhere. I'll be 81 years old in January. I've been through all these stages. All these stages. I'm waiting to die. You say, "Well, that sounds morbid." I'm telling you the truth. Whether it sounds morbid or not, I realize I'm 81 years old in January. And I read the obituaries every day. And I read about people in their 50s dying all the time. And I'll be 81 years old in January. You say, "Well, that sounds awful." It's not. As long as I don't live like those dry bones in the valley. Are you with me? It's not as long as I don't live like those dry bones in the valley. You know, as I've been teaching here lately, I've just been teaching through Timothy. It about wore me out, I'm going to tell you the truth. Because I was teaching something that really didn't speak to my heart that much. You see, God knows I ain't got any sense, so He has to speak to my heart. Now this speaks to my heart. This speaks to who I am. This speaks to where I am. This speaks to how great God really is.
There ain't nobody so dead that God ain't greater. There ain't nobody so bad that God cannot raise them up. There's not anything too hard for Him. But if all I do is look at my circumstances instead of my resources, that's all I see is dry bones. But when I get my eyes off my circumstances and I start looking at my resources and I start thinking about how great and sovereign my God is and what I have to look forward to, my bones aren't dry anymore. And I'm filled with the Spirit of God. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I may be 81 years old, I may be waiting to die, but hallelujah, I'm telling you, I have the Spirit of God in me, I have the power of God in me, I have the person of God in me in Christ Jesus. Now I got a choice, I can live like those dry bones out there in the valley, or I can live like I've been resurrected by the power of God, looking forward to the day when I look Jesus in the face and realizing that the Spirit of God is alive and well in me. Now, how do we keep these bones from getting dry? Well, let's go back and look at Israel and what happened to them. Look at Ezekiel chapter 2. Yeah, I went too far. Well, I didn't go fast enough. Chapter 2, verse 3. Now, we can begin 1 if you want to. Chapter 2, verse 1. Ezekiel, he said, "Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you." And as he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. You ever been there where the Spirit come into you and raised you to your feet? You been down? You been hurt? You felt like you'd been cut off. And then all at once, God came into your heart fresh, new, into your mind and into your heart and raised you up on your feet. And you looked in the mirror and you said, "I have Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I'm not going to be like those dry bones in the desert. I'm going to be like the living Son of God. And I'm going to let God work through my life." Notice what he said. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites." You see, you've got a mission. I may be 81 years old, but I'm on a mission. I got a work to do on this mission. He said, "I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me, and they and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I'm sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, and whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people." You know when how we're rebellious and what gets us to look like that valley of dry bones? You know what does that? We stop listening to God. That's what happened to Israel. They stopped listening to God. "For they are an obstinate and stubborn people. Say to them, this is what the Lord, sovereign Lord says. For whether they listen or fail to listen, they're rebellious people." Why are they a rebellious people? Because they fail to listen.
they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid. All right, now go down to verse 7, chapter 2, verse 7. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. Same thing he said. They may not listen to you. Now I'm going over to chapter 3, and I'm going to verse 4. He then said to me, Son of man, go now to the house of Israel and speak what? Speak my words to them. Speak my words to them. Now go down to verse 7 of chapter 3 of Ezekiel. But the house of Israel is not willing to what? Is not willing to listen. They're not willing to listen to you because they are not willing to listen to me. God said they're not going to listen to you because they're not willing to listen to me. For the whole house of Israel is hardened and obstinate. If you don't watch it, and if I don't watch it, this world and this life will make you hardened. I'm telling you. If you don't listen to God, this world and this life will make you hardened. Now, I had to get to be 80 years old before I realized that. About 77 years old. I had to get to about 77 years old before I realized how true that is. I've been blessed in my life. I mean, my son's still alive. My grandchildren are still alive. My great-grandchildren are still alive. My sister's still alive. My wife is alive. I've been blessed beyond measure. Been blessed beyond measure. I haven't been where some of you have. I haven't been. I haven't been diagnosed with cancer. I haven't been. I may have it now, not old. I don't know. I don't know. All of us are waiting to die, aren't we? We don't know. Oh, Lord, only you know. Here I am sailing along 77 years old. Everything's hunky-dory. Been on 5 cruises in my life. Been all over the United States. Been to South America. Preached in Peru. Been to all the islands you can think of, just about. I got pictures galore. Some of you crazy people went with me. Some of you wished you hadn't. I got all those things, and I'm sailing along. And suddenly, they tell me if I don't have surgery on my back, I can't walk. And I take my wife to the same back surgeon. They tell her they can't do surgery on her because what's wrong with her they can't fix. And suddenly, the only place we ever go is to a hospital or a doctor. No more trips. No more fun. No more eating out together. No more doing all the things you used to do before. You know what you feel like? You feel like you've been cut off. You feel like no hope. You feel like those dry bones in the desert. And that's what life is. And some of you has lost loved ones that you love so much and so dearly. And some of you have had terrible diagnoses. And some of you have been through so hard things in your life. It can harden you. It can harden you. And the only thing in the world that can keep you from being hardened is the Word of God, and know that it is a sovereign God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and will be throughout eternity, and you will live with Him throughout the ages of the ages of the ages, not as dry bones in the desert, but in a brand new body, in a body that has been made of God, prepared for you alone, and you shall spend eternity with Him and those you love throughout the ages of the ages of the ages of the ages. And suddenly that prophecy comes true, and those dry bones come to life, and once that you were hardened, cut off, without hope, you now have the Spirit of God living in you. You now have a heart that rejoices in Him. You now realize that there is a power in you that does not come from yourself, but it comes from God alone, and you soak the Word of God in you, and you look forward to the day when they come to fruition, and you say, "My God Almighty, you are truly a sovereign God, and I'm not worried about the day I die, because that just means I'm going home. And so I will live not like those dry bones in the desert, but I will live like those that have received the breath of God, and I will live by the power of the Spirit of God until you call me home." Now, over the next few Sundays, we're going to see how we do that, okay? Over the next few Sundays, we're going to see how we do that. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you might bless these people. Bless Brother Nate as he comes to preach today. Give him your strength, your power, your healing, your grace, that he might speak the Word of God. Because the Word of God is powerful, like a two-edged sword. It is the power of God. Put the Spirit of God in these you love. Lord, raise them to their feet. Raise them to new hope. Raise them to gladness in Christ Jesus. That great getting up today, gather day, is coming soon. Let us all rejoice in so great a Savior. Oh God, sovereign Lord, only you know. So we place it in your good hands. In Jesus' name we pray.